we had was on bringing animals into the masjid. We also quickly mentioned that it is allowed for non-Muslims to come into the masjid. And we gave the hadith of Jubair ibn Amr and Co. We also mentioned the hadith of Umama, who was arrested by some companions while he was a mushrik. He was tied in the masjid. And others, Banu Saqif, or Banu, some Christians came to visit the Messenger alayhi salatu, and he received them inside the masjid. There are lots of examples of non-Muslims coming into the masjid during the time of the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. I think that will suffice on that, having given those examples. And we said the ulama, al-imam ibn al-qayyim, and others. Likewise, Sheikh al-Albani rahimahullah in Al-Thamar al-Mustaqab, they all say that if there is a need for a non-Muslim to come into the masjid, or that we hope that when he comes into the masjid, he will benefit by coming into the masjid, we should allow them to come into the masjid. Like these are our cities. A Christian can be attending. There is no problem. And he will not have to perform salah to tahiyyat al-masjid. Jubair ibn Muslim, in his own case, he was even sleeping in the masjid. And the Muslims were performing salah. So if we hope that by that, it will help them upon Islam, to allow them to come into the masjid. Today, inshallah, we'll mention the few others amongst the rulings. We will not be able to make istiab mentioning every ruling. Ulama have written variously about ahkam al-masajid. There is ahkam al-masajid, al-masajid, mafhum, fadail, wa ahkam, wa hukuk, wa adab, fi daw al-kitab wa sunnah. By Sheikh Sa'id ibn Ali ibn Wahaf al-Qahtani, the author of Hisn al-Muslim. He has a book on al-Masajid, Ahkam al-Masajid. And in his work, he was very brief, and for every point he mentioned, he brought the evidence. Ikhwah, what gives a book value is not the size, but the mentioning of the evidence that affirms a point that it sets out to establish. This point, there is hadith of the Prophet Muhammad, and the hadith is sahih. Ulama explain it like this. This is a book of value, not as much as a lot of discussions talk in the book. This book is very, very valuable, and it is cheap in its price. It is 3 riyals. 3 Saudi Arabian riyals. That is 300 naira. You can't buy it more than that. The day I bought it, I felt, but this book is too cheap for its price. Very good book, Al-Masajid, by Wahab al-Qahtan, Sa'id. It's a very, very, Ibn Wahab al-Qahtan, it's a very, very good book about Ahkam al-Masajid. The other book like it, though old, long ago, I'm sure this will be while I was in the university, by Sheikh Wahid ibn Abdul Salam Bali. He was compiling Al-Kalimatu Nafi'atu Fil Akhtai Shai'atu. Al-Kalimatu Nafi'atu Fil Akhtai Shai'ati. He compiled some books about popular mistakes, popular things of error people commit, and different issues of the deen. So this one, he compiled it regarding the masajid. He is the author of Asarim al-Bata. That person is an Egyptian sheikh. He's well known. We have some of our friends, alhamdulillah, who are studying books with him in Cairo. A well-known person. In his own case, only the mistakes people commit inside masajid. So he brought 90 amongst those mistakes. 90 mistakes people commit inside masajid. Very good book. I have only tried over the years to preserve this copy. As you see them one sheet by the other, they are completos. I take care of it like a baby. May Allah protect us. The day you miss one page from it and you need that page, you will feel bad about missing the page. May Allah protect us. There is also Islah al-Masajid, min al-bida'i wal-awa'id. But Imam Jamaluddin al-Qasim is old. Imam Jamaluddin al-Qasimi was old. So he wrote this book, Rahimahullah, and the tahqiq, this tahqiq, was done by Imam Muhammad Nasiruddin al-Albani. Very, very good book about masajid. Islah al-Masajid, purifying the mosque. Min al-bida'i, away from innovation, wal-awai, and misguidance, things of misguidance people bring into it. He mentioned a lot of issues people do those days. Al-Imam Jamaluddin al-Qasim. So we can look for this. Another very good book about Ahkam al-Masajid is by Sheikh Khairuddin Wali. This Sheikh Khairuddin is one of the students of Sheikh al-Albani rahimahullah. He wrote the book Al-Masjid fil-Islam. Ahkamuhu, Adabuhu, Bida'uhu. He also mentioned issues of Bida'ah people do regarding Masajid. It was published by Ad-Darul Athariya in Jeddah. Darul Athariya belongs to Sheikh Mashrur Hassan Ali Salman. They published the book. And I bought it from them. Darul Athariya. There is also, and in my opinion, the best, this book, Tanbihul Anam. Very old book. Tanbihul Anam lima yata'allaku bil masajid min fada'il wa adab wa ahkam. Very, very good book, this book. It was written by Abu Ibrahim Umar ibn Muhammad al-Jazairi. And Sheikh Abdul Razak ibn Abdul Muhsin al-Abbad made a taqdeem on the book. Very good book. Very, very good book. On the rulings regarding masajid by Sheikh Umar ibn Muhammad al-Jazairi. If we go to this book also, As-Samar al-Mustatab by Imam al-Albani. It's in two volumes. Although he was not talking about specifically about masajid, but from about the second third of the first volume up to about half of the second volume, he was discussing Ahkam al-Masajid. So in it also he discussed the things that are allowed we can do in the masajid, the things that we are not allowed to do in masajid, and he was very, very detailed. It could be collected and separated as a whole book itself. What he wrote here, rahimahullah, Sheikh al-Albani, it's one of his earlier works. He wrote this book, As-Samar al-Mustatab, before he wrote Tamam al-Minnah. He wrote As-Samar al-Mustatab before Tamam al-Minnah. Although it was published, I think shortly before he died or shortly after he died. It was one of the latest books that was published of him, but it was one of his earliest books that he had written, rahimahullah. And when you look at his usloob of writing in this book, As-Samar al-Mustatab, you see the sharpness of a young person inside the book, rahimahullah. Very, very good book, well researched about Ahkam al-Masajid. As-Samar al-Mustatab fi fiqh al-Sunnah wal-Kitab by Imam Muhammad Nasiruddin al-Albani. Very good book, As-Samar al-Mustafa. The reason I'm mentioning this is such that you can always find some sources to go back to regarding the issues we mentioned. Although if you go back to Fathul Bari of Al-Hafiz ibn Hajar, you make a lot of benefits also, because although under Abwab al-Salah, I think in Sahih Bukhari, Ahkam al-Masajid are under Kitab al-Salah. Or that in Sunan Abi Dawud. The point is, when you go back to Sahih Bukhari, you find issues related to it. Ibn Hajar rahimahullah was also extensive in his discussions on the ahkam, the rulings regarding the masajid. You can always go back to them, reference work. May Allah make things easy for us. Today we go to mention a few others that we will be able to mention. But if you come to these other books, you find other issues that perhaps we have not mentioned, or we felt that these ones are things that happen day to day to us. So we give them preference over those others. May Allah accept our acts of worship. The first 2 points, we mentioned 2 points together. The first one is al-bay'u wa shara'u fil masjid. Buying and selling. Selling and buying in the masjid. Al-bay'u. Selling. Wa shara'u. Buy inside the masjid. Can we sell and buy in the masjid? Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu reported from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam that he said, إِذَا رَأَيْتُمْ مَنْ يَبِيعُ أَوْ يَبْتَعُ فِي الْمَسْجِدِ فَقُولُ إِذَا رَأَيْتُمْ مَنْ يَبِيعُ أَوْ يَبْتَعُ فِي الْمَسْجِدِ. If you find مَنْ يَبِيعُ, a person who will sell something, أَوْ يَبْتَعُ, or buy something in the masjid, فَقُولُ, you should say to him, all of you, لَا أَرْبَحَ اللَّهُ تِجَارَتَكَ, لَا أَرْبَحَ اللَّهُ تِجَارَتَكَ, may Allah not make your tijara, your business, to profit. لَا أَرْبَحَ اللَّهُ تِجَارَتَكَ, may Allah not make your business profit. He said, radiallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَإِذَا رَأَيْتُمْ مَنْ يَنْشُدُ فِيهِ الضَّالَّةِ. That's why I said, we'll be mentioning two issues together here. The first one is al-bay'u wa shara' fi al-masjid, buying and selling in the masjid. The other one is نَشْدُ الضَّالَّةِ, publicly seeking out, openly seeking out a lost property. Somebody comes out and says, like it happened to the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam. He finished salatu subhi. Someone just opened the windows and from outside was shouting, ah, if anybody saw a missing camel, I'm looking for my camel. He said that to the Prophet Muhammad. The Prophet says, La raddaha Allahu alayk. May Allah never make you return, make it return to you. May Allah not make it return to you. May Allah not return it to you. So ulama say this is evidence that to do that in the masjid is wrong. Somebody comes and say, I'm looking for my shoe in the masjid. Just give him this dua. La raddaha Allahu alayk. Somebody comes and say, oh, I'm selling agumu, agumu naru, agumu. People do a lot of things. May Allah not make you profit in the business. La arbaha Allahu tijaratak. It is zikr of the circumstance. The zikr of that condition is that you should say this. La raddaha Allahu alayk. May Allah not return it to you if he was asking out publicly for a lost property. Oh, I lost my phone. Any person who finds my phone, please help me get it. La raddaha Allahu alayk. May Allah never return it to you. So these things are prohibited in the masjid. The first one is buying and selling. Somebody comes to sell something in the masjid or buy something in the masjid, it is wrong. Both the two of them are doing something that is wrong in the masjid. As ulama say, we can say that to them both. La arbaha Allahu lakuma fi tijaratikuma. May Allah not bless your transactions, the two of you, both the buyer and the seller, they are culprits. So likewise, the one who comes to announce lost property in the masjid, I've lost so so and so. Ulama extend this ruling of prohibition of buying and selling, that it also involves services. You are a cleaner, say, oh, please employ me as the cleaner of this masjid. Don't do that inside the masjid. Tailor, ulama say it in gossip. We deliberately mention it. People make tailoring inside the masjid and they tailor. So you sew in the masjid. Put people come and say, hey, help me cut it in the hand. Help me cut it. La arbaha Allahu tijarataka. So these are the circumstances that they mentioned. And other. What about like our people who sell at the outside the masjid? What about that? That is correct. Somebody can sell something outside the masjid, but not inside the masjid. Neither should the person make an advertisement for his business or her business inside the masjid. He will give them this dua if they say it. But outside there they can. But there is a question we will look at. On Fridays here, they move those selling commodities from that place away from there. Why? Because this veranda on the days of Juma have the ruling of the masjid. People pray on the veranda on the days of Juma. It means if you come on the day of Juma, you want to pray on that veranda, you must make tahiyyatul masjid, because that veranda has the ruling of masjid on Juma. So it means it is haram to sell it on that place on Juma. At every point in time, the ruling of the place will determine what you will do there. If that place outside the masjid takes the ruling of part of the masjid on the day of Juma, it means within that time that it has the ruling of a masjid, that buying and selling must not take place here. So these are some issues connected to what we are discussing. Likewise, he cannot also announce here on Friday, I lost my shoe, please, where is my shoe? La raddaha Allahu alayk. Because that place he's standing there has the ruling of inside the masjid at the time of Salatul Jummah and shortly after Salatul Jummah. So you see these people, they will not move down there until sometime close to Asr. And people have gone, Jummah has finished, they begin to move their commodities. This is correct, inshallah. Even though they may not know the reason why they are doing it, or they may know. If they know, alhamdulillah. If they don't know, that is the evidence regarding what they have done. It's a well-guided thing, inshallah. May Allah continue to keep us guided. Sometimes a person does not know the ruling regarding a thing, and he will do it in such a way that is perfectly in line. Alhamdulillah, it's part of guidance from Allah. If they have done it wrong too, that is how we say it. The day we say something that is wrong, don't say they are attacking us. We are saying our own, because of our own hereafter. May Allah make it good for us. So those are some of the issues. There is a riwayah in which the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam says, man sami'a rajulan yanshudu ballatan. Whoever hears a man yanshudu, publicly announcing or announcing out, openly calling out, ballatan, regarding something that gets missing. Fil masjid, while in the masjid, فَلْيَقُلْ لَا رَدَّهَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْكَ. Let him say, لَا رَدَّهَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْكَ. Ulama, al-Imam al-San'ani, rahimahullah, in Subul al-Salam, he says it is obligatory, you must say it. Because the messenger has ordered you, فَلْتَقُلْ. So you must say it. فَلْيَقُلْ لَا رَدَّهَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْكَ. May Allah not return it to you. لِأَنَّ الْمَسَاجِدْ لَمْ تُبْنَ لِهَذَا. Because the mosques have not been built for that. The mosque has not been built for business transactions. It has been built for salah. It has been built for azkar. It has been built for ta'lim. It has been built for muzakaratul ilm, mutually mentioning knowledge. It has not been built for buying and selling. That hadith occurs in Sahih Muslim. The first one we read occurs in Sunan al-Tirmidhi, Sunan al-Nasa'i, Imam Ahmad and others. They report that hadith. And Imam al-Nawawi says, fi hadhain hadithain fawaid. These two hadiths that we have mentioned have points of benefit. Minha, amongst that is that an-nahyu an nashdi dallati fil masjid. A prohibition regarding announcing out a dalla, a missing property or item inside the masjid. Wa yalhaq bihi is both correct. And it is connected to it. Another ruling connected to that is ma fi ma'nahu min al-bay'i wa shara. Something like it, like buying and selling. It's like, don't announce out, don't advertise. I love so thing, don't say that. And then say, oh, come and buy so thing from me. Don't say that in the market. So, wal ijara, I'm borrowing something. I want to borrow, lend out a house. Who needs a house? Because he will pay for that. So once you start saying it, you are negotiating a business transaction inside the market. It's prohibited. So that's why ulama make it to include other things too. Business transactions. Don't do it in the masjid. In fact, some of them say those people in those days who write Quran, masahif, they copy masahif, they should not do it and make that agreement inside the masjid. They say because they are going to sell it and make profit. Don't do it in the masjid. Go out of the masjid. Mushaf. Those who copy mushaf and sell. Mushaf, our warra. They call them that. Don't do that in the masjid. Go out of the masjid. They say it's business, it's service, it's like tailor. So that's why it says wal ijara and issues of service providing. I'm taxi driver, come and enter my taxi la. Don't do it in the masjid. Wa nahwiha min al uqud and things like that amongst issues of transaction. So he says also amongst the things that are connected to that, he says wakara hatu raf is salt fihi. Wakara hatu raf is salt fihi. It also includes that. It prohibits raising the voice in the masjid. Of course, the one who will announce that, I'm telling so, he will call out in the masjid. He will raise his voice in the masjid. So all of these things are attached to that ruling. And they are also prohibited for the Muslim to do. And that's why, like we said, that Al-Imam al-Sun'ani said that يَقُولُهُ جَهْرًا that لَا رَجَّهَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْكِ أَوْ لَا أَرْبَحَ اللَّهُ تِجَارَتَكَ يَقُولُهُ جَهْرًا. The individual will say loudly زَجْرًا لِلْقَائِلِ لِذَلِكَ by way of cautioning. Caution does not mean only telling somebody don't do. Caution includes you are admonishing him and warning him. Stop that. Don't do it again. So he says, Zajran lilqa'il lidhalik. By way of cautioning the one who says that kind of a thing. I want to sell, I want to buy. Ummahat! Sister, I'm telling you, Papa, in case you want to buy. Haram! If someone tells you that, tell her, La arbaha Allahu tijaratati. May Allah not profit your trade. Sister, I'm telling children's clothes. In case you know another person who wants to sell. Sister, I'm telling Nicole, a hand glove. In case you know somebody, give her the zikir. It is zikir you are doing because Allah will reward you for it. May Allah protect us. So we have two rulings in that. Buying and selling in the masjid is haram. Likewise, seeking out, asking out for lost property or item in the masjid is also not allowed in Islam. The other ruling is tanashubul ash'ari fil masjid. Conjuring poets inside the masjid. Tanashubul ash'ar. Conjuring poems. Although Al-Imam Ahmad Shakir, rahimahullah, in his tahqiq, got the hadith regarding it, wherein the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam naha an tanashud al-ash'ar fil masajid. That hadith also occurs in Sunan al-Tirmidhi. So after discussing about the isnad of the hadith, which is the hadith of Amr ibn Shu'ayb and Abihi and Jaddihi, we discuss the isnad. In case we need to do some more researches on it, we have it in his sharh of Sunan al-Tirmidhi, Sheikh Ahmad Shakir. Amongst those who affirm that that isnad is alal aqall hasan, because there is a discussion regarding the authenticity of this isnad for those of us who follow up issues like this. Amongst those who discussed it also was Ibn al-Qayyim and al-Imam al-Zahabi in Siyar al-Alam al-Nubala. So, and then Sheikh al-Albani in al-Thamar al-Mustafa. For our brothers who follow up discussions on Asanid. So he said, rahimahullah, Al-Imam Ahmad Shakir, he says, Tanashud means al-mufakharatu bishayh. Publicly making boasts amongst one another. I know Sheir more than you. You know more than me. And then they begin to contest inside the masjid. وَالْإِكْثَارُ مِنْهُ. And they'll be get regularly busy with that. Sheir, he has to every time the masjid here, singing. As many of our malams are busy with Sheir today. People are so busy with Sheir that they even don't memorize Quran. Instead of memorizing the Quran, it is Ash'ar that they memorize. These are from the things that are condemned about Sheir, making Sheir. Some of the ulama, learned people, you will see that these people should be learned. When they mention an issue and they want to provide evidence, instead of mentioning a verse of the Quran, instead of mentioning hadith of the Prophet Muhammad, they will say, Afa alone is okay, you could. Even in majalis of tafsir, places where people want to make tafsir of Quran, their istishhadat are usually shi'riya, and there are hardly any istishhad any person wants to make regarding the Quran. That you will not find something like it in the Quran. This was one of the reasons why Al-Imam al-Shinkiti compiled his book, Adwa'ul Bayan, Fi Idah al-Quran, Bil Quran. He was insisting that the best of what to interpret the Quran with is the Quran itself. The best of things that explain the Quran is the Quran itself. So he made his tafsir in such a way that almost every verse of the Quran, he will bring another verse that explains that verse of the Quran. A verse of the Quran, he will bring another verse that explains it. Then he says, if you don't find a verse, you find in the Sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad, alayhi salatu wasalam. After all, his duty, alayhi salatu wasalam, was to do that. Do what? Litubayyana linnasi ma nuzila ilayhi. To explain to the people what Allah has revealed to them. So people should pay attention to Quran. They should pay attention to a hadith of the Prophet Muhammad, alayhi salatu wasalam. When you say a hadith is reported by Al-Bukhari, Muslim, we give this kind of thing priority. Searching for it, because it involves searching and keeping it in mind. It was reported by Abu Huraira, reported by Silbab. The hadith regarding social things were reported by those. It is activity that requires paying attention to it and searching the books of Sunnah. So some of us, instead of getting busy with things like this, we are memorizing the share of some people they found in the times of Jahiliyyah. May Allah protect us. It is good if Allah has blessed the person with a lot of time and then a lot of very strong zakira, that he can do that and make benefit, because when a person gets really involved in issues of Sheir, his Arabic will be very strong. He will be very strong in grammar. The ulama say he can live without that. It will be fudul. It will be fudul, excessive. Things with which you may do without. So don't let that prevent you from this. Because it is starting you to. Don't let the search for that prevent you from this. Otherwise, it becomes blameworthy. May Allah protect you. So, al-mufakhara to be shay, mutual boasting about shay, poems, wal-iktharu minhu, and then getting regularly involved in it. حَيْثُ يَغْلِبُ عَلَىٰ غَيْرِ. He wants to be superior over others regarding shay. Not superior over them in Quran and Hadith. Shaykh, he gets so busy. وَحَتَّى يُخْشَى مِنْهُ كَسْرَةَ اللَّغَةِ. To the extent that we fear that he may begin to make a lot of noise regarding this. مِمَّا يُنَافِي حُرْمَةَ الْمَسَاجِ. And when he begins to do this in the masjid, raising his voice, wanting to supersede and override others while in the masjid, he begins to disturb other users of the masjid. They say this hadith of Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As is regarding this type of shirk inside the masjid. And that hadith in it, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As said, نهى النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم عن البيع. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم نهى عن البيع. He prohibited selling, ولبتياع, and buying. وعن التناشد. He also prohibited التناشد, mutual boast over poetry. تناشد الأشعار, mutual boasting regarding poems. He said what? في المساجد, inside the masajid. نهى النبي صلى الله, نهى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم عن البيع والابتياع وعن تناشد الأشعار في المساجد. The Prophet prohibited it. That's how it occurs in Sunan al-Nasa'i. It was also reported by Imam Ibn Majah and Imam al-Tirmidhi in his Sunan. So this is the kind of share that is prohibited inside the masajid. Like this is prohibited in the masajid. But the Tabi'i, Sa'id ibn al-Musayyib, was reported by Imam al-Bukhari in his Sahih and by others in their books of hadith. Imam Muslim also reported the hadith. Imam Ahmad in his Musnad. Others reported the hadith. That he said, Marra Umar radiallahu anhu fil masjid. One day Umar radiallahu anhu was walking inside the masjid. Wa Hassanu yunshid. And Hassan ibn Thabit, you know this companion, he was a very elderly, not Hassan ibn Ali ibn Abi Talib, Hassan ibn Thabit. He was very elderly. At the time of Hijrah, he was about 60 years old during Hijrah, which would mean that he was over 40 when Islam came, when the Prophet began to announce Islam. He was a well-known companion because he used to sing and versify poems in defense of the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. When the mushrikun abused him with poems, he wouldn't say poems. Ma allamnahu shayra alayhi salatu wasalam. Wa ma yanbaghi lahu. In huwa illa dhikrun wa qur'anun mubin. The Messenger alayhi salatu, ma allamnahu shayra. This Quran, what we taught him was not shayr. Wa ma yanbaghi lahu kutibudu mufinkum aqarin sallallahu alayhi wasalam. This is where some of us like to stay. So the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, he would not think in defense. It was Hassan who was used to that. Even from the days of Jahiliyyah, he would call him, Hassan, oh yeah, defend me. And then Hassan begins to sing poems, Arabic poems, also in defense of the Prophet Muhammad. So he sings poems defending the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. To the extent that he will pray that Ayyadaka Jibreel, Jibreel will strengthen you. Say it! So Hassan ibn Thabit was used to doing that. So one day after the Prophet had died, he died during the Khilafah of Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan. So when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had died, I remember Hassan ibn Thabit was amongst those who radiallahu anhu, who circulated the news about the ifk of Aisha radiallahu anhu. Hassan ibn Thabit. We know the story of the ifk against Aisha himself and Hamna bint Jahash, the younger sister of Zainab bint Jahash, and Miftah. You know Miftah, the cousin of Aisha radiallahu anhu. These were the three amongst the Muslims who were involved. The fourth one was Abdullah ibn Ubay ibn Salim, Rasul Munafiqin, the head of the Munafiqun. To the extent that Hassan was so old, and Aisha radiallahu anha, and he went blind. So Aisha radiallahu anha would always hope that Allah forgave him. That because he came into Islam old, he became old in Islam and he was defending the Messenger. That she hoped that because she forgave Hassan, Aisha radiallahu anha forgave Hassan. One day he came into her residence while the son of Abu Bakr and Siddiq Muhammad was with Aisha. So she went and brought a mat by way of honoring him, that Hassan ibn Thabit should sit on that mat.
So when he went out, those began to say, "You are honoring. Was he not the one who was making ease of you with those people?" And Allah says, "Wallazina tawallaw kibrahu lahum azabun alim." Was he not amongst them that those who were in the forefront of this evil, that they will have severe punishment, azabun azim? Allah mentioned, so he's amongst them. So she said, "No, don't say that. He came into Islam as an old man, and then he went blind." So for Aisha, she was saying that his blindness is sufficient azab for him. May Allah not punish me him on the day of Qiyamah. Al-Imam ibn Kathir mentioned these reports from Aisha, ascribing it to Imam Ahmad in his Musnad, in his tafsir of that part of the Quran in Surah An-Nur. So it was the same Hassan ibn Thabit. He was said to have a very sharp tongue. He can respond to any statement anytime. So after the Prophet died, alayhi salatu wasalam, he was singing poems, he was versifying poems inside the masjid. And Umar radiallahu anhu passed near him, by way of saying that, "What is this one that you are doing in the masjid?" He said, "Faqala kuntu anshudu fihi." I used to sing poems inside the masjid. وَفِيهِ مَنْ هُوَ خَيْرٌ مِنْكَ. And at that time inside the masjid, there was someone who was better than you. We have chosen this law and not this expression of this hadith, and not that of Al-Imam Al-Bukhari, because of this feeling, وَفِيهِ. Because some of the ulama say, like Al-Imam Ibn Battal Al-Maghribi Al-Maliki, that the riwayah of Al-Imam Al-Bukhari does not indicate that Hassan was saying that in the masjid. But this riwayah of Al-Imam Al-Tirmidhi indicated that he said, radiallahu anhu, kuntu anshudu fihi, yani fil masjid, wa fihi man huwa khairu minka. In the riwayah of Bukhari, it says, kuntu anshudu wa fihi man huwa khairu minka. But here it says, kuntu anshudu fihi, I used to sing poems inside the masjid, wa fihi man huwa khairu minka. So that's why we chose this love, not that it is more authentic than, although this also has a riwayah in Sahih Bukhari. These are other issues around what we are discussing. The point was that Hassan ibn Thabit was telling Umar radiallahu anhu that, "Look, I have been saying this poem when someone who is better than you was alive." Who was he referring to? The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. ثُمَّ الْتَفَتَ إِلَىٰ أَبِي هُرَيْرَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ. Hassan ibn Thabit then turned to Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu and asked him, "Anshuduka Allah, I adjure you by Allah, I ask you by Allah's name, Asamita Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam yaqul." Did you ever hear, or did you not hear, that the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam was saying, "Ajib anni, respond on my behalf, Allahumma ayyidhu bi ru'il Qudus, O Allah, strengthen Hassan bi ru'il Qudus, with the Holy Spirit," referring to who? Jibreel alayhi. "Oh Allah, strengthen Hassan." Abu Huraira, did you not hear that? Qala na'am. Abu Huraira said, "I heard that." Meaning that it was a well-known thing that the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam would pray for Hassan when he said poems inside the masjid in defense of the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. So ulama said this is evidence that it is ordinarily allowed to say poems in the masjid. If that poem, like Al-Imam Al-Qurtubi said, I think it will be beneficial inshallah to read what he said. Al-Imam Al-Qurtubi was explaining this matter. He was cited by Sheikh Al-Albani in At-Thamar Al-Mustatab. That statement itself occurs in his tafsir, Al-Jami' Al-Ahkam Al-Quran, in his discussions on the Surah Al-Shu'ara. He said, Rahimahullah, "Wal-awla at-tafsir." Because some of the ulama employed the first hadith we read to say that it is not allowed patapata for anybody to say poems inside the masjid. Don't say poems in the masjid. But because of this hadith, Al-Imam Al-Qurtubi said, the better thing, the weightier thing, is to say there is need for us to take some explanations regarding it.
What is it?
وَهُوَ أَنْ يُنْظَرَ فِي الشَّعْرِ. That shi'r, that poem being said, should be considered. فَإِنْ كَانَ مِمَّا يَقْتَدِ الثَّنَاءَ عَلَى اللَّهِ. If that poem is something that involves praising Allah Azza wa Jalla, أو على رسوله, or praising the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, أو عنه, or it involves defending the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, أو الزب عنهما and Allah subhanahu wa taala, كما كان شعر حسان, just like Hassan had his poems that they were involved with praising Allah and defending the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. أو يتضمن الحب على الخير, or that poem involves الحب على الخير, encouraging people to do good, والوعظ admonition, والزهد في الدنيا, and it encourages people to take it easy with this dunya from their enemies, والتقلل منها, and then taking only a little from this dunya, فَهُوَ حَسَنٌ فِي الْمَسْجِدِ وَغَيْرِهَا. Poetizing or versifying poems, جَائِزٌ حَسَنٌ, is good, فِي الْمَسْجِدِ, whether inside the masjid, وَغَيْرِهَا, and outside the masjid. وَمَا لَمْ يَكُنْ كَذَلِكَ. But the one that is not like that of Hassan ibn Thabit, involving praising Allah, defending the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, encouraging Muslims to do good, and cautioning them against evil and all of these, lam yajuz, those are not allowed. لِأَنَّ الشِّعْرَ فِي الْغَالِبِ, because most of the times, شِعْر, poems, لَا يَخْلُو عَنِ الْفَوَاحِشِ, they do not get distanced away from shameful things that are shameful. Always you find shame, poems or songs involving things that are shameful. وَالْكَذْبَ وَالْتَزَيُّنَ بِالْبَاطِلِ, and lies. وَالْتَزَيُّنَ بِالْبَاطِلِ, and making things that are wrong to seem good. Brandishing bad things to show them to be good. وَلَوْ سَلِمَ مِنْ ذَلِكِ, even though it may be free from these things that we are saying, فَأَقَلُّ مَا فِيهِ اللَّهُ وَالْهَذْرُ, the least of what you still find in most poems is اللَّهُ, things that have no meaning. They are just talking and just using words. Usually, especially these days, sometimes people say, shame, you'll be looking, what are you saying? Just wait. If it is something that involves a matter that the Quran and the Sunnah has said, you can't have a better thing than a verse of Quran. You can't have a better thing than hadith. You can't have a better thing than a statement of a companion, رضي الله عنه. So if it is that one, use the verse, use the hadith, use the other. But if it's where, it doesn't mean that when you now say a poem to affirm that it's not wrong, but you have something better than it. And I don't think anyone will find something better and then take the good one, leave the better one. Perhaps it may depend on the circumstance. But the fact still remains that إِنَّ خَيْرَ الْحَدِيثِ كِتَابُ اللَّهِ وَأَحْسَنَ الْحَدِيثِ هَدِيُّ مُحَمَّدٍ عَلَيْهِ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ. So even though these things may be free from fahisha, from lies, from brandishing evil to show them to be good, أَقَلُّ مَا فِيهِ اللَّغْوُ وَالْهَذْرُ, the list of what you find in most poems is اللَّغْوُ, just meaningless statements, just combine them to make good sounds and things like that. وَالْهَذْرُ, I'm merely making tattoos, playing with words. People play with words. They want to show that there is sufficient words in Arabic grammar to use. So they play with words. Wal masajid, and these masjid munazzahatun an dhalik, they should be purified from things like that. So meaning that what we should get more involved in with in masajid. Even though we will sing poems, even though singing poems is allowed in the masajid, we should not get involved with poems that are meaningless or poems that do not praise Allah or praise the messenger or defend the personality of the messenger or encourage people to do good and prohibit them from doing evil. And then it should not be a mutual contest. Who knows best, who does not know best, who can shout better, who can sing better, and all of these that people get involved in. I think this will suffice regarding this issue of Tanashud al-Ash'ar fil Masajid. Mutual contest about singing, making poems and poetic stanzas inside the masjid. The other issue we'd like to talk about, At-tahalluq li-hadith al-dunya fil masjid. Sitting in circles to discuss worldly affairs inside the masjid. Maybe one party. In a ward, there's a masjid. They want to do a party meeting, PDP or any party. APC, SBC, NRC. So where is the venue for the meeting? Mosque. Don't do that. Don't make a mosque a venue for such sitting. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu reported from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam that he said, فَيَكُونُ فِي آخِرِ الزَّمَانِ قَوْمٌ. At the end of time, in the end time, there will be some people. يَجْلِسُونَ فِي الْمَسَاجِدِ حِلَقًا حِلَقًا. They will sit in the masjid in circles, some here, some here, some here. وَإِمَامُهُمُ الدُّنْيَا. Imamuhum, what they face, their qibla, as they say. The title of their discussion is what? Dunya. How do we get what? Sincerely speaking, I consider all those kind of things up there as part of it. Yajlisuna fil masajid. Hilakon, hilakon. Imamuhum, tidalika huwa madha? Dunya. Who collects money? Who will collect tomorrow? What is it? That is it. No any other. These people shouting and disturbing the rest of us. May Allah protect us. It says, Fala tujalisuhum. Do not sit with them. فَإِنَّهُ لَيْسَ لِلَّهِ فِيهِمْ حَاجَةٌ. Allah does not have any need for them. Don't sit with them. This hadith occurs in Sahih ibn Hibban by Al-Imam ibn Hibban. It also occurs in Silsilatul Ahadith al-Sahiha by Sheikh al-Albani. Hadith 1163, because I want you to go back and check it. Others amongst the ulama have spoken regarding this matter. If we come back to Tanbih al-Anam, he mentioned a hadith of Jabir ibn Samra. In that hadith occurs in Musnad Imam Ahmad. It occurs there in the fifth volume of Musnad. But I don't speak this because it is easier for me. I checked the Musnad. The hadith is there. Simak ibn Harb. Simak, his name is Simak. One of our brothers was doing a lecture. It is Samak, la. It is Simak. Simak ibn Harb is a tabi. Simak ibn Harb said, Kuntu li Jabir ibn Samra. I said to Jabir ibn Samra, Akunta tujalisu Rasulallah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Did you used to sit together in the company of the Messenger? Alayhi salatu. Qala na'am. Kathiran. Yes. Many times. I used to sit to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Kana yakumu min musallah. الذي يصلي فيه الصبح أو الغداء. Sometimes he will stand up from the place where he performs Salat al-Subh or the morning prayer. He will stand up from there. عليه الصلاة لا يقوم كان لا يقوم من مصلاه الذي يصلي فيه الصبح أو الغداء. The messenger will not stand up from where he performs Salat al-Subh or al-Ghada, the early morning prayer referring to Subh, hatta tatlu al-Shams, until the sun rises. فَإِذَا طَلَعَتِ الشَّمْسُ قَامَ. And then when the sun rises, the Prophet would stand up from that place. وَكَانُوا يَتَحَدَّثُونَ. And the companions used to discuss inside the masjid. فَيَأْخُذُونَ فِي أَمْرِ الْجَاهِلِيَّةِ. They would take some topics. يَأْخُذُونَ فِي أَمْرِ الْجَاهِلِيَّةِ. They would take some topics about the issues that, some of the issues that happened during the times of Jahiliyyah. فَيَدْحَكُونَ. Sometimes they would laugh. وَيَتَبَسَّمُ. But for the Prophet Muhammad he would only smile. So ulama employed this hadith because he said after subhi they will sit down with the masjid, in the masjid they will be discussing issues of the days of Jahiliyyah. Again, other reports in the Musnad, it even said they will make sha'ir amongst themselves. Do you know in Jahiliyyah so person used to make so sha'ir? They will recall those sha'ir. So some of them will smile, some of them will laugh, but for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam yatabassam, he will only smile. Because of this hadith, ulama say that the ruling regarding discussions of dunya inside the masjid should be balanced. How do we balance it? They say لا يجوز اتخاذ المساجد أماكن للبيت والتجارة ونحوهما من أمور الدنيا. It is not correct to make the masjid a place where people come and sell something or people trade وَنَحْوِهِمَا and the like of these two مِنْ أُمُورِ الدُّنْيَا amongst the issues of this dunya مِمَّا يَرْتَفِعُ فِيهِ الْأَصْوَاتُ amongst the things wherein تَرْتَفِعُ فِيهِ الْأَصْوَاتُ voices become raised. This one is raising his voice, this one is raising. It's not correct لِأَنَّ الْمَسَاجِدِ because these mosques إِنَّمَا بُنِيَتْ لِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ they have only been built for the remembrance of Allah. وَكِرَاءَةِ الْقُرْآنِ reciting the Quran. وَالصَّلَاةِ فِيهَا and that you should perform salat inside them. لكن, however, يَجُوزُ الْكَلَامُ الْقَلِيمِ it is allowed to make some brief talks, some small conversations. فِي شُؤُونِ الدُّنْيَا regarding the affairs of our life. عَلَى وَجْهٍ in a manner that لا يشغل من حولهما من القراء والمصلين. It will not disturb or bring this disturbance من حولهما to those among near them, among those who are reading the Quran or those who are performing salah. Meaning that it is allowed to make some brief discussion. Brother, how was the exam you wrote yesterday? So the exam was fine. Alhamdulillah. Hope it wasn't too tough. Alhamdulillah, we hope that some brothers will pass and perhaps some sisters will pass too. But make the masjid an area for discussion. Who are we going to vote tomorrow? They say, no, vote brother A, vote brother B. And they begin to talk, pam, pam, pam. Don't make the masjid a place like this. But some brief al-kalamul qaleel, brief talks like this inside the masjid, sometimes they are allowed. This will occur in al-fatawa, the fatawa of al-lajnat da'ima, in the 6th volume, page 280. You find that statement, the explanation I just read, you find it there. They also said, أَمَّا الْكَلَامُ الْقَلِيلُ الْمُبَاحِ فَلَا بَاحِ. As for brief thoughts that are allowed ordinarily in Islam, فَلَا بَاحِ. There is no blame, لَا بَأْسَ بِهِ إِنَّ الْحَاجَ when there is need for it. فِيمَا يَتَعَلَّقُ بِشُؤُونِ الدُّنْيَا in the issues regarding the daily affairs of life. So we can discuss in the masjid. Oh, how is your health? Did you go to the hospital? Did you see a doctor? Did you? Things like this. Oh, how is your country? That's very common in haram. You see people come to you and say, oh, you are from where? Nigeria. How is your country? How is life there? Are people living fine? How many Muslims? More Muslims? Your president, is he a Muslim? Is he a Christian? You see discussions like this in Masjid al-Haram. Whether Makki or Al-Madani, you find discussions where people converse like this. These kinds of brief talk about dunya, no problem. But that somebody makes it Ra'asul Mal, that he comes to the masjid and all of what he has to tell the people is dunya, 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 this one is wrong. like converging every Sunday here that our brothers do. It's wrong. Many times they've been talked to, but they still continue to do it. It's wrong. That hadith of Ibn Mas'ud that we read is clear cut evidence. That people will sit down in the masjid at the end of time. Wa imamuhum. The topic of their discussion, he called it their imam. Why? Because that is what leads the talk. The lead talk, what is leading in the talk, is all about dunya. It says, Fala tu jalishum. Don't sit with them. Because Allah has nothing to do with them. May Allah protect us. So things like this are bad. Some of us may not be coming to this one. You may have another one you are doing in your area. You say Islamic cooperative, go and look for LOY, lay cooperative. But I think it's a character. Masjid is not a place for character. Look for your office where you will do that. May Allah protect us. And that place is part of the masjid. If everybody in Aleppo were to come to masjid to perform salah, that place will not, this masjid will not be sufficient for us. If everybody around this Aleppo were to come to the masjid for salah, this masjid will not be sufficient for us. Whether salah to Zuhur or Asr or Maghrib or Isha. So it's not correct. Sincerely, it's not correct. May Allah make things easy for us. So that is at-tahallukuli hadith al-dunya fil masjid. Al-aqlu fil masjid. Is it allowed to eat inside masjid? The brother goes now, buy food, bring it here. Brother, bismillah, inside the masjid. Is it allowed? Some people condemn it. Sir, you are eating the masjid. They're correct. Nah. Most committees. Say no, the committee has decided that you should not eat in the masjid. It's wrong. The decision is a wrong decision. Abdullah ibn al-Harith al-Zubaydi radiallahu anhu said, "Kunna na'akulu ala ahad al-Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam." During the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. "Kunna na'akulu." We used to eat. We would eat. He says, "Fil masjid," inside the masjid. What would they used to eat? Al-khubza wal-lahm. Who eat bread and meat. Sinumasatiya Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. During the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Kunna na'akulu al-khubz. Al-khubz. You eat bread, wal-lahm, and meat inside the Prophet's masjid. During the time of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That hadith was reported by Al-Imam Ibn Majah in his Sahih, in his Sunan. الإمام الشوكاني says والحديث يدل على جواز الأكل في المسجد. This hadith points to the permissibility of eating inside the masjid. Elsewhere it says والأحاديث الدالة على جواز الأكل أو على جواز أكل الطعام في المساجد متكافرة. والأحاديث الدالة على جواز أكل الطعام في المسجد. The ahadith that points to the permissibility of eating inside the masjid, mutakathiratun, they are so much, there are a lot of them that indicate that it is allowed to eat inside the masjid. Don't forget that Ahlul Sufa were living in the masjid, they were eating in the masjid. Don't forget that the Messenger had in his time a woman who was sleeping in the masjid and cleaning the masjid during the time of the Prophet Muhammad. Ulama says that as another issue. Is it allowed for a woman to be sleeping in the masjid? Like this masjid. A woman is sleeping there. Is it allowed? This hadith is evidence that it is allowed. For a woman to be sleeping in the masjid. Her house is the masjid. So this woman, the hadith occurs in Bukhari and Muslim. She was sleeping in the masjid. وَكَانَتْ تَقُمُّ الْمَسْجِدِ. She used to sweep and clean the masjid of the Prophet Muhammad. Ulama say it is not, we cannot understand from that that if she wants to eat, she has to go out of the masjid. So that's her house. Her luggage is there, her load is there. It's one of the evidences that a menstruating woman can sit in the masjid. It is not understandable that that woman was not menstruating. And she was sleeping in the masjid. Because when she died, they went and buried her without telling the Prophet Muhammad. So he asked, where is that woman? Yeah, she has died. Why did you not tell me? Say, we just went and buried her. Where did you bury her? So he went and made Salatul Janaza over her grave. That is evidence that Salatul Janaza may be made over a grave. This hadith occurs in Bukhari and Muslim. It came from the report of Abu Huraira, Anas bin Malik, and Jabir ibn Abdullah al-Ansari. So these things are correct. There are clear texts that indicate them. It does not mean that Salah, Dhatul Ruku' wa Sujood is allowed in grave so. The Salat of Ruku' and Sujood, no. The Salatul Janaza, now, is allowed. And from among the evidence that shows it is this. You know, in Janaza, no Ruku' ko, no Sujood ko. We'll come back to it in our book, Ad-Durarul Bahiyya, inshallah. I think that it suffices that we should stop here regarding Ahkamul Masail. It just tries to mention some basic rulings regarding us. And my hope is that as we carry along on issues of Salah, other matters regarding Ahkamul Masail will be coming up. So we'll address them as they come, like the issues of Sutra to come up, inshallah, on issues of Salah. Like the issues of Salatul Jama'ah. When they mention what are those things you can do in the Masjid, they say Salatul Jama'ah. So we'll discuss all of those on that Salah. And that would mean that we'll be going back into our book, Ad-Durarul Bahiyya, inshallah, Fil Masail al-Fiqhiyya by Imam al-Shawkani, from our next class. We only went by the side to know about Ahkamul Masajid, because we didn't discuss Masajid at all. So after we finished a Tahara, if a person finishes Tahara, where does he go to? Masjid. So if the Masjid has Ahkam, it behoves us to discuss the rulings regarding a mosque. In these days, Muslims, we don't care about all this. The rulings regarding Masjid. Let's go to mosque and pray and go. But the mosque itself, it has rulings, it has manners regarding how to use the mosque, some of which we have tried to mention. And we also mentioned to us sources from where we can go back to and see the same information that we have been told about. So it's not any hidden thing. Islam is not a hidden thing at all. You can also go back and look at it in your own. So may Allah make us understand better than it is explained to us. Bismillah, this will be our last class for this year. Because although some of our brothers had already gone, وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ يَنْتَظِرْ وَمَا بَدَّلُوا تَبْدِيلًا. So some of them, the rest of them are still waiting to go. May Allah make it easy for them. So we'll be ending this session with this class, hoping that in the first Sunday of Muharram, inshallah, we'll be resuming for our classes. At that time, we'll be going back to our book, Kitabul Mawaqit, our Kitabul Salah, Babul Mawaqit. Go. Kitabul Salah, Babul Mawaqit Salah. The book of Salah, the times for Salah. Is Salatul Zuhur 2 o'clock prayer or 1 o'clock? Which time is Zuhur? 1 o'clock or 2 o'clock? In the north where I have come from, those who pray 1 o'clock, they say, that is Allah. They say, Izala. That is referring to Ahlul Sunnah. In the north, if they say you are Izala, what they mean is that you are Ahlul Sunnah. Although, when people like Sheikh Al-Bani in Zaria began to attack that issue, it stopped. So now they call them Salafi. Salafiyun, their own is even stronger than the Sunnah of Izala. Because the Sunnah Izala is Sunnah Malikiyah. They are Fiqh Fiqh Malik. So the others amongst people of Sunnah come back, but the Aqidah, they try to maintain Aqidah Ahlus Sunnah al Jama'ah. In Aqidah Ahlus Sunnah al Jama'ah, in Fiqh Malikiyah, like Jama'at al-Tabligh, in Aqidah Diobandiyah, but in Fiqh Hanafiyah, there is no way you go to Ijadi, it is Fiqh Hanafi you will be following. Whether it is correct or wrong. So in the north, Izala is essentially in Aqidah, inshallah, Ahlul Sunnah al-Jama'ah. In most of their Iqtikadat, nobody is free from errors. But that is what they base their preachings on. But in the issues of Fiqh, you find them in Mazhab al-Imam Malik. So when people started to say, oh no, even this one you are doing is not Sunnah, you say, ah, so Izala too, their Sunnah too is small. Ah, So they refer to those ones as Salafi. They are the ones no respecter of error. Salafis, no respecter of error. And their utmost evidence is Messenger said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, companion said, Al-ilmu qala Allahu, Al-ilmu ma fihi haddathana, Al-ilmu ma fihi qala haddathana, wa ma siwahu waswasu shayatin. Al-Imam al-Shafi'i says, this kullu al-ilmi siwa al-Qur'ani mashgalatu. Sciences apart from the Qur'an is just getting yourself busy. Things, people just learn. What are you learning? You are not learning Qur'an. Mashgalatu, you are just getting yourself busy. It says, فَإِنَّ الْعِلْمَ الْحَدِيثُ وَالْفِقْهَ فِي الدِّينِ. Knowledge is hadith. What did the messenger say? What did the messenger say? And fiqhu al-deen. So then he made that second verse that I read. Rahimahullah, al-Imam al-Shafi. Although some of the ulama say, yes, it is ascribed to Shafi, but it was not the one who said it. The two verses occur in the Sharh of Al-Aqidat al-Wafiqiyya by Al-Imam ibn Abi Izz al-Hanafi. He made his ishad with them when he was mentioning the importance of the sunnah. So you make share to encourage people to read hadith book. It's part of making share to support Allah and his deen. May Allah make this easy for us. So this is where we'll stop, inshallah, for this year. Hoping that Allah keeps us safe and upon Iman till Muharram, inshallah. So that those of us who will catch up with the rest of our brothers will catch up to them in Makkah, Madinah. May Allah accept our acts of worship. Now, alaykum salam. We will be time conscious today, bismillah. Now, alaykum salam. Yo. Carrying a baby in salah is mustahab. Okay. If the child urinates on you, does it vitiate your salah? You are carrying a baby, and then the child vitiates on you. Does it vitiate your salah? Urinates on you. Does it vitiate your salah? There are two cases there. The time that the child urinates and urine does not touch you. Maybe she's wearing a, what do you call it? No, that's not the name. Pampas is a brand name. Diaper. She's wearing a diaper. So the diaper collects the urine. Ulama say this is correct. No jidal. They say because the Prophet was not, alayhi salatu wasalam, checking to mama whether she has urinated or not. They discuss this in the books of fiqh. The second one, that the urine now touches you. And Imam al-Shawkani discussed it in Nail al-Awsar. What is the ruling of somebody has najis on him? Does he vitiate the salah? Not that, is it obligatory on him to remove it? The question is, does it vitiate salah? And Imam al-Shawkani says, Allah sahih, it does not vitiate the salah. The correct view is that it does not vitiate your salah. It does not vitiate your salah. But that if it is something you can remove off you, such that you will still remain upon salah, remove it is better for you. The evidence that it does not vitiate your salah and that removing it is better for you was the messenger's prayer, alayhi salatu wasalam. That hadith occurs in Sunan Abi Dawud that I can remember now, but I'm not sure if it occurs in Sahih Bukhari or Muslim, but I know it's in Sahih Muslim, so in Sunan Abi Dawud. Then the messenger once, alayhi salatu wasalam, performed salah with the companion. He was wearing a shoe that had some najis under it. Some say it is physis, some say it is something else, but it is a najah, it is najis. So he performed his salah and Jibreel came to him, alayhi salatu wasalam. So you under your shoe, you have some, you remove the shoes. alayhi salam. You know what the companions did to Nabi Allah? They too removed their shoes. And Nabi Tibaba. They removed their shoes with him. Because the lesson that they learned is that لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ وَسْوَاسٍ. One of the ulama said, fear of Tulillah, no separation in the entire, the whole of him is an example for you. So when he removed the shoes, alayhi salat, they removed their shoes too. Radiallahu anhu. So after the salah, don't forget that they started that salah while that necklace was on their body. Alamatu sa'a. Raising voice in the masjid. If you ask, what is causing this raising voice now? Imam Humpi, mother? Talu Bajolana, Talu, who will collect tomorrow? Who will collect? Cooperative, who will collect the money tomorrow? Who will collect yesterday? Men and women, some people's wives and some people's husbands are shouting like that in one single city. May Allah protect us. So, I'm coming, inshallah. They removed the shoe. So after the salah, he asked them, alayhi salam, why did you remove your shoe? We removed our shoe because we saw you removing your shoe. So he explained to them that Jibril came to me, alayhi salam, and told me that I have some cover, or kavura, filled under my shoe. So I removed the shoe. Ulama said, this is evidence that if that salah was faulty because they were wearing something that had magic on it that they should have removed, they would have repeated the salah from the beginning. But if they were not ordered to restart the salah, so they say it means the salah they performed while that thing was on their body or their leg, as the case was an acceptable salah. That was why he did not repeat the salah. He himself did not repeat his salah. Neither did those who pray, who observe the salah behind him, neither did they also repeat the salah. So if Ummu is carrying her baby, know these women, and the baby urinates on your body, carry on with your salah. If it is easy for you to remove the part of you that have touched that thing in such a manner that you can still carry on with the salah, you will not be exposed, you can carry on. Otherwise, if you continue that salah, you have salah. Yes, some say the best for her is to stop that salah and they now start another issue. How? They say she just goes away, clean up herself, come back and continue from where she stopped, Dina. Some say no, she has to end that salah, go back, clean up herself, wear something else or change the diaper for the baby and then come fresh, start the salah all over again. But they are both correct. They are both correct. They are both supported with evidence. If she goes away, cleans herself up and then come back and continue the salah, there's no blame on her. Inshallah. If she goes, cleans up herself and come back and start the salah all over again, there's no blame. If she continues the salah, her salah is valid. Her salah is not spoiled because the child urinated on her. Allahu Akbar. Alaykum salam. Madam, is your answer clear? Alaykum salam. Okay. It's not correct. It's part of it. You are a businessman. You are in the masjid receiving phone calls. How much is it? 20 naira. 40 naira. That negotiation, where are you making it? They should stop it. School. Some will do it when the imam is on the minbar on the days of Friday, on the days of Juma. They should stop it. It's wrong. The hand deals speak for them. It's the same thing. A letter to tell a woman you are divorcing her is a valid thing. You are passing around information. They should not do that inside the masjid. They should stop it. They should go outside the masjid and do that. Especially when the people are going away. Because if you do it when the people are coming into the masjid, they will bring it into the masjid. So they'd rather done that when the people are going away. Alaykum salam. When the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam saw somebody doing that, and he told him, "Mali araka tajlisu jinsat al-maghdubi alayhi." Why do I see you sitting in a manner that people who will be, who Allah is angry with, the manner of sitting of those that Allah is angry with? But it has two ways. One of them is, the one is actually at the back, putting that hand behind you, your left hand, not right, left, at the back. When it is on your side, it is allowed. When it is at the back, it is prohibited. If it is on the side, it is allowed, inshallah. Alaykum salam. Ameen. You get it? Dunya in the mosque. Football is part of it. Somebody is discussing. The first question was, people are discussing economic crisis, so they are now saying this is the way out in the masjid. What does it do to the people in the masjid? Are they the Mrs. What is her name? Finance Minister. Adi Oshun. Adi Oshun. Soludo. MFLA. They are not. As much as is possible, issues of dunya should reduce in the masjid. As much as possible should be avoided inside the masjid. As much as possible. Unfortunately, many of the Muslims, there are a lot of things to talk about. If we want to go, we want to connect those things that are happening with the deen. People say Bukhari, Bukhari, Bukhari. I say Allah, Allah, Allah. Is it Bukhari that is making prices to go up? Wallahi, it is Allah. And what we need most in this country now is istighfar. We are asking Allah, Allah, forgive us. Because Nigerians have committed. And they are still committed. Does it not suffice that? Because some people, do you know Bama in Maiduguri? Did you follow up how people were massacred in Bama? Is that sufficient that the entirety of Nigeria be punished for that or not? Can Allah say, oh, you all of you, at that time, some people were busy sharing the money that was meant to defend those innocent people. In Ramadan in Mecca, I had an opportunity of meeting somebody who participated in Nigeria's senior military officer. In fact, he was in, I shouldn't be saying this on tape. Let me stop. But the fact remains that the fact that some people were sharing the money, it went a long way to destroying life. So they are saying that the man was sick. They should come and take 400 million. He is sick. Oh, he took that 400 million when the lives of many people were gone. Not sickness. The family saying that don't kill our son. Don't kill your son. Your son was responsible for the death of many others. And many of them knew. Because somebody was saying then that this crisis, people are making money from it. Do you know? It's not that I say subhanAllah. I tell you, people are making money. That time. Before it became open now that Ashe, they were sharing the money. Ashe is outside in Yoruba too. So these kinds of issues, there are ways to address it. People have suffered. Somebody said to me, he was there, not I'm telling you what somebody who is a witness said. But there was a woman, she has traveled long distance on her feet, tired. They thought that she had died. They covered her with the cloth, ready to go and bury her. He said, he just thought that, let's check this woman. He opened the cloth. He was their leader. He's a very senior person in the military. So he just noticed that there is some movement around the jugular. Maybe this woman is alive. He shook her. He looked at her face. It's like the woman has life in her. He was the one that said he ordered other soldiers to provide her water, provide her food. They got her into. He even has a video. I saw it. How many people have been buried like that? The imam of a barrack around us, not far away, said to me that the day, I think I should stop at that. But the fact remains that we have done things in this country that deserve that. If it were that Allah wants to punish people, there's a way of dealing with them. Nobody can explain what is happening now. They are just talking. Soludo is talking. Sanusi Lamido is talking. They are all saying different things. The woman who doesn't know what to say again. All that we have Allah. And if we make istighfar, He promises us good things. He's supposed to talk to you, Rabbakum. Innahu kana ghaffara. Yursilu as-samaa 'alaykum midrara. Wa yumdidukum bi amwalin wa banin. Wa yaj'al lakum jannatin wa yaj'al lakum anhara. Ma lakum kilo shay'in yana wasrun bi la tarjuna lillahi wa qara. Wa qad khalaqakum aqwam. This is our problem now. It is Allah we need to be begging. Are we not the ones who say we want Buhari? Okay, say, take the Buhari. But I will still do what I will do. So if we are not patient with him, because things are really difficult, brother. I tell you, things are difficult now. They say the rich also cry. This is where we are now. The times of the rich also cry. If you see somebody now looking fine, he's just giving himself sabr. It's not because he has one money somewhere else. I tell you, give yourself sabr. You don't understand me, brother. If you see somebody smiling, it's not all because everything is smooth, so. But it's because if you don't smile, you will just kill yourself and just go. The time that the fruit of the issues going on now, people will be enjoying, you will not be there. So be patient. Beg Allah. Our arzak is in the heavens. It is not in the hand of Buhari. He says, "Wa fi samai rizqukum." Yani arzakukum, because it's mufrad, rizqukum. All you have got is in the arzak. It's in the heavens, and it will come down from the heavens. So beg Allah to change our condition. To judge those going to Hajj, get to Makkah, Allah, please change our condition. Allah, give us peace. There is relative peace now, cool? I tell you, there's relative peace now. Everywhere. Even in Borno, there's relative peace. This last Eid al-Fitr, I read on the news, was the first time people are going to eat with peace of mind in Borno. They went to eat this time. Last year, there was curfew on the day of Eid. But this year, no curfew, no incident. And you didn't hear any attack, alhamdulillah. So there is peace. Shouldn't we thank Allah for this peace? Okay. The one that is remaining is food. It's not that people are working and they are not working, though. Whether you are working or not, the thing is not flowing anywhere. I tell you this, the rich are crying. The rich are crying. So be patient and beg Allah, Allah, please change my condition. Change our condition. We should make dua a lot. And then change things we are doing in some ways that are bad. We should change our approach. Beg Allah to forgive us. If somebody comes and says, brother, we are not going to agree. Let's go to now. We will not agree. You are just wasting your time. And it will not bring about any good. It will not bring any good to you. What you need now is patience and begging Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But in my thinking, I think that we have a responsible leader. That itself is a virtue from Allah. You don't know? If it were the last leader that we had, that we still have now, we are just packed. But now I think, inshallah, I'm telling you my personal opinion that I have a right to express. I think we have a responsible leader. You know, you know, we are recording this thing, so I have to say it well. I have to say it well. But I'm telling you my mind. We have a responsible leader. Whether in secret or in the open. It is from the Aqeedah of Ahlus-Sunnah al-Jama'ah to make dua for our leaders. Do you know that? Good or bad? When Jonathan was there, wallahi, I was praying for him. Allah guide him. You know why? If Allah guides him and he does well, who will benefit? We. So the time that there is Muhammad there, is that the time that I will not pray Allah to guide him? When there was Jonathan there, we should beg Allah. Is it now that there is one Muhammad there? That is the time we will leave that Muhammad. We will never leave that Muhammad. We will still be begging Allah, Allah. The problem that one Jonathan caused, one Muhammad solved it. And that is how it will be in Allah. So we hope that we have a very responsible, the entirety of the world holds the man responsible. I tell you this. Do you know what it means? The last visit of Obama to Saudi Arabia, he was not attended to by Malik Salman. Do you know that? But this one, the Malik himself went to some point one. Honor him. And then they opened the Kaaba for him. Enter inside the Kaaba. Make your dua. So, I think it's held responsible by the entirety of the world. If you don't think that it's a responsible person, you are the one that is irresponsible. Your position is sharp, mabdut. So we hope, inshallah, that the man is responsible. He's not out there to steal anyone. Even when he increased the oil price, we are hopeful that it's for our own good. And we see petrol everywhere now. They even reduced the price from 143 to 140. So in all of this, we don't need to be shouting, and we only need to beg Allah, Allah guide him, Allah guide him, Allah guide him. He is our affair. So as is the issue of insecurity, Allah will ease the issue of food. So that we too come to thank Allah like Quraysh. Says, فَلِيَعْبُدُوا رَبَّ هَذَا الْبَيْتِ أَلَّذِي أَطْعَامَهُمْ مِنْ جُوعٍ وَآمَنَهُمْ مِنْ خَوْفٍ. This is our hope with Allah subhanahu. We ask Allah to make things easy for us. We ask Allah to make things easy for us. We ask Allah to bring ease for us. Our leaders in this country, political, religious, in every sense of the word, we beg Allah out of His power and mercy to guide them to that which is best for us. To guide them to that which is best for us. To guide them to that which is best for us. We, the followers, may Allah make us drop things that we do that will cause problems for us. Because Nigeria is big. I tell you this. About a week ago, we were discussing with a sheikh somewhere, and we were saying that in Lagos there are 20 million people. He wanted to run mad. He said, in a state, 20 million people. In his own country, the whole people of that country are 2 million. The whole country, 2 million. And you are saying that in one state, you have 20 million. If we have not undercounted it, Lagos should not be less than 20 million. Though there's trouble between MPC and Lagos State government. Lagos State government is claiming 17 million. MPC is giving them 20 million. So you are 20. Lagos is, and before it was the other way, Lagos was claiming 20, MPC was claiming 17. Now the battle has started. Say, no, you are 20. They say, no, now we don't want 20 again, we are 17. So these large group of people, you see, this large number itself is a favor from Allah. Do you know that? There is no class of workers you are looking for Nigeria. In Nigeria, you don't get. Brothers, do you get me? There is no class, no labor class you are looking for in Nigeria. You know, if you are looking for laborers, you see them. If you are looking for upper class laborers, you get them. If you are looking for supervisors, you get. If you are looking for consultants, you get. If you are looking for, think of it. When police said they want to employ 10,000, how many people applied? When those who recently immigration, not the first one, this one, they done another one. How many people applied? That will tell you the kind of people in this country. We have not talked about Kano. We are just talking about Lagos. Because Lagos and Kano, they are still contesting. I tell you, in everything, in economy, in population, in diversity, to a rich country. The biggest in Africa, the biggest black nation in the world. All of these are favors of Allah. No? It remains for us to tap it. And there is nothing Allah did not give us. The gold deposit in Kaduna is more than the gold of South Africa. Do you know that? Yes. The gold deposit in Kaduna state is more than the entire gold in the entirety of South Africa as a country. Then we have oil. We have gas. How many places are they looking for gas in Nigeria and oil? People inside Borno, far away, in Lake Chad, there is possibility of finding oil there. So where, what are we, what is it that we need that Allah has not given us? There is bitumen, there is asphalt. If we want to produce nuclear weapon in Nigeria, we can produce it. We have uranium in Nigeria. You don't know that? Uranium, it's in Zamfara. Everything Allah has given us. We have land that we can farm. Land in this country. We have animals, livestock. If you cannot stay in the north, come to the south. If you cannot stay in the south, you go to the north. It's a big country. And then we are very, very brilliant. I tell people when you travel abroad, I say Nigerians are the most brilliant people in the world. I say that and I believe it. Because when you get to a place, they must know you. I tell you, they must know you. Yeah, I'm a Nigerian. You know what that means? That is me, God of God. You can't beat the Nigerian. You can't. And they know all over the world. Our army are brave people. Brave. Somebody who went to Liberia was telling me when I was in youth service, Bashir. He said when they were in Liberia, when all these France and these people brought their soldiers, if they hear the rebels shoot one, pow, pow, they will just say, pow, 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 they are shooting. They will not say, what are you shooting? You have not seen the person, you are just wasting the bullet. They will not shoot one unless they see the target. Nigerian, you are shooting them, they are coming, where are you? They want to see you first before they think. They are brave people. Very brave. So we have many favor of Allah on us already. It remains for them to come together as soup that we can eat. The man has tomatoes, he has oil, he has maggi, he has... You know, it remains for him to... And if he does not bring it together with the correct ration, he will cook a soup that he cannot eat. So this is what is remaining for us that we are begging Allah to give us. And then not to stop those other favors that he has done for us. He has also given us peace, dear brothers. Things have happened in this country that when they happen in other countries, there is war. In Nigeria, no war. When the president was saying a few days ago in Kenya that Nigeria is the most safe place in the world to do business, I believe it. He said, All these other things we have as problems, they are virtual, they are not real. They are over a short time, they will go away. Bismillah. Niger Delta cannot survive in the second as they are now. They can't survive it. This is an environment where I grew up. I know it very well. They can't survive that. There is no exploration going on in their country, in their community. They can't survive it. If you have a company drilling somewhere, you have what they call mama put, people selling food. They go and build hookahs around that company so that the laborers, at break time, they come out from there to eat food. So that woman will make money from that company. She will employ people who will wash plates for her. She will employ people who will cook for her. That company will employ gate men. They will employ laborers, skilled and unskilled. So and work will continue, money is flowing in their community. Now all the companies are shutting down, one after the other. Where will they get the food to eat? Niger Delta cannot survive what they are doing. I wish that they can stop it. And I have a personal experience with which I want to stop. Recently, in Ramadan, I was in Port Harcourt. So when I got to Patani, I passed, I bought, what's it called? Shrimp, big red shrimp. And I liked it so much because with it I was brought up. In the big one. I liked it. I was enjoying it. Actually, I was eating poison. Because it will reduce your blood pressure. Why? A doctor in Saudi German Hospital in Medina said to me that the reason why it will reduce your blood pressure is that those things were grown up, were groomed in oil-contaminated environment. He did not know where I bought it from. After the test, he said I ate something that was bred in an area where the oil has contaminated the environment. This is where I'm coming now. How many people would have been dying in Niger Delta because the fish they eat, the shrimps they eat, are shrimps that had consumed oil, crude oil, because they cannot biodegrade them. So for them, they are not poisonous. But when we eat that same shrimp, that same fish that has those poisons inside them, they will become poisonous to us. And alhamdulillah, 3 days ago, Flipboard on Android, I think they are on iPhone too. Flipboard. You see, when you use internet, use it like you gain a lot of things. There's a report now that there are fishes in the world that are poisonous. Fish, oh. But they are present. If you eat them, a person may die from them. Why? Because they eat and grow from things that are poisonous. They cannot biodegrade them. So those things will remain as poisonous inside them. When you buy the fish, you cut it, you eat it, you find that the man went down. They say it was one woman that shined the eye to her. Nah, he ate something. So what I'm saying is that in Niger Delta, their fishes are gone. In Ogoniland, 6 meters into the earth is destroyed. 6 meters. You know what that means? There's no plants they will plant there that will not grow. If it grows, if it survives, they are eating poison. Otherwise, the basic rule that they can't grow plants, they can't fish there. They can't grow plants, they can't fish in Ogoniland. And they are poor people ordinary. Ogonis are poor. So they'll be going poorer. They can't fish, they can't farm, they can't do anything. There used to be oil and garri from Ogoniland. You don't have that again. So the Niger Delta will not profit from what they are doing. They cannot sustain it in another 10 years. I tell you this. And if they declare a country, they cannot survive. They cannot rule themselves. So this country, we have a lot of things that brings us together much more than the things that divide us, if we know. South Sudan, what is happening in South Sudan today? They are regretting that they disconnected and disintegrated from North Sudan. And they thought that if they disintegrated, their problems have solved. وَلَقَدْ كُنْتُمْ تَمَنَّوْنَ الْمَوْتَ مِنْ قَبْلِ أَنْ تَلْقَوْهُ فَقَدْ رَأَيْتُمُوهُ وَأَنْتُمْ تَنْظُرُونَ. You are the ones who say you want to disintegrate. You are disintegrated now. Your eyes have seen it. So we have hope that things will be better, the Iznillah, in this country. All we need to do is to beg Allah to give us leaders, and then to beg we the follow Allah, that we the followers, to make good followership. We hope that we can live peacefully, inshallah. I think it's surprising that I stop here.
سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت استغفرك
السلام.